Each and every show here on America Tonight, we'd like to kick it off with our pals from Talk Radio News. None better than my friend, the former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney. Bob, how you doing? The summer is over. We're into the fall, and there's so much happening in Washington, eh?
It is. There's a lot going on. Unfortunately, the only news is Syria, but there are other things, farm bills and budgets and deadlines and immigration bills. I'm afraid, though, for right now, Syria is at the forefront. Frankly, Kate, it's getting worse by the hour.
Yeah, no kidding. First, tell me about Reid deciding to delay the Senate vote on Syria. Why did he decide to do that? Because they just got back just to kind of stall it, or just a combination of things?
No, the votes were there originally. It was running through the Senate. You had John McCain, et cetera, and some coalitions, and it fell. It fell. The votes aren't there. Something went wrong by the time they got, you know, to the OK Corral there in D.C. And then the president's going on primetime tomorrow. He can't just say Assad's a bad guy. The people polled know that, but they still don't support this. So he's probably going to throw in Iran tomorrow night, which is kind of muddling the mix in a way. Secretary of State Kerry said, well, maybe we ought to, you know, get their chemical weapons if they basically, you know, turn them in and put them under control. Russia suggested that. Now the White House is not really happy with that, but they're going to have to at least consider it. So it has just morphed into this unrecognizable plan now. Boehner, the Speaker of the House, Republican, is supporting President Obama. Maybe that gave it the death sentence in the House. I'm not sure. But the House is, the votes, I mean, it's not even near anywhere of anything recognizable. So this thing is, unless the president pulls a miracle off tomorrow night, convincing Americans to pick up the phone and call, I don't see how this goes anywhere.
You know, what's interesting about this, you know, spending so many years on the Hill, isn't it about the people around you at the White House are just trying to rally for votes? So when they started to take the polls, did the White House really think they had the votes in at least the Senate?
I think they did, because when this first started and the chemical attack came and the president said, hey, you know, red line, we're going to do a limited strike. You know, I think people up on the Hill, people I talked to, said, well, okay, he's going to do a limited strike, maybe right, maybe wrong. But once it delayed, once it went to from a conversation with Congress to permission from Congress, because historically you got Gulf of Tonkin, LBJ, Bill Clinton, Bush 41, Ronald Reagan went to Grenada for three students. I mean, you know, over historically, presidents have done limited strikes. They really have.
Yeah.
So once it went from that to permission from Congress, and then the voters went nuts, and members of Congress are coming up for election. There's a fear factor. Once that all happened, it just, I've never seen anything honestly fall apart so quick under Obama's time as president. This one did.
Yeah, what's your gut tell you, just as being somebody involved in politics for so long, what do you think happens here? I mean, will he just go it alone? Will we ultimately see those supposed missile strikes?
I don't think he can, because he will really ruin any future domestic agenda. It'll take his clout away. I was there during the weapons of mass destruction when they lied to us, but it all looked good. And so, look, a lot of members are out there, Kate, that were there when I was there, and they're suspicious, not of President Obama. They're suspicious of the agencies, the CIA, the intelligence information.
Right.
They really are. I mean, they were burnt once. But I think if the president goes it alone, wow, I think he really will hurt his ability to do other things. This would just occupy the media for months.
Boy, no kidding. I almost, as you said, it's just all about Syria. But one other thing, and you even sent me a note about this, and people are asking about this. What about the whole idea of, because of the states buying the insurance, having those co-ops, so to speak, set up, and that not working, and then this Medicaid expansion, and there's some confusion there. There's still going to be people that are going to be uninsured, right, as we get ready to roll into 2014.
Yes, and upwards of 10 years, a 10-year period from now, there'll be about 33 million at current estimate uninsured. Now, that's not because of the Obamacare bill. It's due to the fact of the states will buy or not buy into Medicaid expansion.
Yeah.
So if they don't buy into it, that figure is going to be unusually high of people who are stuck, that are not poor enough to get a medical card but aren't wealthy enough to buy insurance or maybe have pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, they're going to blame the bill, but at the end of the day, states have to take in Medicaid people anyway. They're just balking at, quote, getting into a federal government program. But this is a pretty serious one that they're going to take a good look at.
Yeah. All right, Bob Ney, thanks so much.
Thank
as
you.
Always from Talk Radio News. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, you heard Bob there. Great insight talking about Congress, what we say all the time. One, they don't want to lose the seat. They want to please constituents. That means you and me. So with public sentiment being so low on the idea of doing anything in Syria, Congress really backing away from Obama, and Obama now trying to have to save face on this. And when you look at what opinion has been and what's, again, happened with the president on Syria, this is an epic failure. Bob said it. I mean, this is a terrible failure from the Obama administration, his worst since he's been in office. There was no strategy on this. It seemed as though they were very confused from the start, and that's the problem. There was no clear cut. This is the foreign policy. Here's what we see happening here. This is why we're doing this. That did not exist, and now this is coming back to bite him, messing around, red lines, confusion, unanswered questions, not persuading allies, and you and me not being on board with the plan of the non-plan, and ultimately putting ships out and getting ready for military strikes. So going it alone, all the things that we've been talking about. And it's interesting because in the very beginning, the first couple of days, there were a few people, both Republicans and Democrats, who weighed in, who said, yep, we're for it. Mm-hmm. But now they're saying, no way, cannot back military strikes. So I opened this up in our previous show, and it's wide open, baby. It's a jungle out there, the Wild West, for all of you to comment. So I'm going to give you the numbers right at the top, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. If there is not an attack, does the president completely lose face on this one? You know, even if you look at General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, it's been a strange position for him. Even one of the callers pointed that out. He spent a giant chunk of last year hammering Congress that Syrian intervention was not smart. Now he's supposed to stand up there and say, oh, yeah. It's my contention that we need to get in there, and these delays are hurting. We've got to do that. So is it complicated, confusing? Absolutely, because there was never a clear message from the administration as to what was going to happen here or what was the thought all along. So now you've got Assad killing his own people, possessing chemical weapons, supposedly, right? Pipelines to networks in Iran and Hezbollah, Hamas, who knows who else. Al-Qaeda always floats around in the back of our heads. And an interview on American television with Charlie Rose. We're going to let you hear some of that coming up next on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Eric Hamburg with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Ever wonder why billionaires like Warren Buffett, John Paulson are dumping their shares of U.S. company stocks? Do they know something we don't? No investor wants to own stocks with falling profit margins and shrinking dividends. Is it possible a 1987-style market crash is coming? Are these investors aware of a massive correction of up to 90%? Call me, Eric Hamburg, at 800-686-2237, extension 120, and find out why gold and silver are the only true safe haven. With event-driven risks, such as volatility in the financial market and conflict in Syria and the Middle East, the sky is the limit for gold and silver. That's Eric Hamburg, 800-686-2237, extension 120, and I'll send you a brochure explaining why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. As a currency's value crumbles and gold being priced in dollars, metal's value will skyrocket. Again, that's Eric Hamburg, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 120.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LaCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LaCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LaCig.com. And LaCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LaCig.com, spelled LECIG.com. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Will there be attacks against American bases in the Middle East if there is an airstrike?
You should expect everything. You should expect everything. Not necessarily through the government. It's not only the governments are not the only player in this region.
All right, Charlie Rose, like I said, with the exclusive interview aired on PBS and on his CBS morning show too, as well in the interview with Assad, asking him there what to expect retaliation-wise, what to expect. And you heard him say, expect everything, anything that can ultimately happen. And I think it tells the true story when you have on the Wall Street Journal this morning, when I stumbled out to get it, on the front page, of course, everything is about Syria, like Bob Ney was saying. And the headline was, Obama hones pitch on Syria as opposition rises at home, because you got the president addressing the nation. And the interesting picture is, you have John Kerry, the Secretary of State, who's in Paris trying to get some support for the strikes on Syria, and he's sitting around in a park with a bunch of other diplomats at a famous garden there, and you can tell he's trying to be casual, and it's like, let me convince a few of these diplomats what's happening here. And apparently that's just not working, and so it's not looking good, although I am surprised, as Bob said, and then to hear Bob say this, I was so certain, and this still could happen, that the president that I've been watching is not going to easily say, okay, great. So I can't get Congress to back me up on this. I look at all these polls, all the people around me are telling me that nobody's backing up this initiative, this idea that we have to jump in here, that they've used chemical weapons. We're convinced of it. We've seen the evidence. And we need to do something. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe he is going to just back away and suffer the consequences of losing face. Because I really didn't think so. Anything that we've seen in the past, that has never happened before. And it does not follow his character to just say, man, I give. I talked about the red line. I was true to my word. I'm trying to honor the things that I said as I was running that I was going to do, whether it was gay marriage or it was something else that I was anchored to. And he was anchored to this idea that if there's a red line, that's when we act. If there's a red line and it's crossed and the red line is the chemical weapons, then that's what's going to happen here. But This is an epic failure from the point of view of not having a strategy. Not having a strategy, then setting the tone by using the red line analogy. Saying this is it, boom, this is it, this is it. Once this happens, we cannot not do anything. This is where we're going to be, but we're not on board. The allies aren't on board. Congress is not on board. Very limited folks are jumping on this bandwagon. Even a lot of the Democrats who were initially supporting the Prez are backing slowly away, trying to slip out of the room. They don't want to turn into pumpkins after midnight. Seriously. They don't want to be tied to this. So as I said, what was interesting is that Charlie Rose, boy, he can land some big interviews, and this was certainly a huge interview. And in talking to Assad, Assad answered a lot of things, including that whole idea of the retaliation was very, very big. So here are a few of those comments laced together from a little bit of the Charlie Rose show.
It's difficult for anyone to tell you what's going to happen. It's an area where everything is on the brink of explosion. You have to expect everything. Before the 11th of September, in my discussion with many officials in the United States, some of them are congressmen, I used to say that don't deal with the terrorists playing games. Expect every action.
Including everything. Chemical warfare?
That depends. If the rebels or the terrorists in this region or any other group have it.
Wow, so how about that? That depends. And you hear what he said, if the rebels or anyone else in this region has it, because he's standing by the, I did not order this chemical weapon attack. It's not on me. So he's saying if the rebels or somebody else, well, you know, that could happen. So now we're back to this idea of, should we strike even Syria? And if you're the president, I mean, this, like I said, is the massive losing of the face. Do you just go ahead and do it? Because this is it. I'm the president of the United States. Here's what I said I was going to do, and I'm going to do it. Whether I have people standing beside me or not, I'll have, of course, a handful of people. And if I thought I was going to get more than the usual suspects, well, I guess they're not here, but I feel it's the right thing to do. That primetime address becomes even that much bigger. Is there any kind of persuasion? And Bob Ney said it. You know, this is a guy who was in politics and went down at the hands of politics and was in the game for a long time. And you heard him say that he has never seen anything like that from the Obama administration. And then talked about he would have to have like an American Idol finale performance to have people switch their minds that this is what has to happen. And I don't know how he does that. And he certainly can't show, there's the video that's floating around and it is horrific and you see kids and women in it and whatnot. He can't show the video. It's not going to be show and tell like, oh, I'm the president of the United States and I wanted you to see some of the intel that we have. And here's some of the video that, of course, has been floating around. And we have also seen this too and whatever. He may refer to it, but I can't believe that he would certainly show that. So what is it that he can say to convince you that, hey, maybe I was wrong about that and we need to jump into the Syrian thing? What's a few missiles anyway? I think people think, yeah, it's a few missiles. It's 1.5 billion Tomahawk missiles. So, yeah, maybe we're going to skip this. Maybe we should skip this round. And part of this has to do with being war weary in the first place. In wars that were never backed up by the American public. In Iraq, halfway through anyway, and Afghanistan. And so then here you go again with something else happening in the Middle East with consequences attached to it. And nobody wants to hear about chemical weapons, but nobody wants to hear about doing any kind of an invasion on Syria. There's no question that would be blowing up the line. If boots were on the ground, that'd be such a deal breaker for Obama. I mean, I don't even know what his approval rating would be. It would just plummet to an all-time low for any president, I think. because we've had it. We're done. Which kind of goes to the point of Bob Ney saying, you know, the other part of this is with the people that have been elected again and again and again, they've been burned by intelligence. And they're not going to go there again. They're not going to allow that to happen, possibly, where they have to explain why they decided this was the right thing to do. Instead, erring on the cautionary side as to, okay, the UN Security Council, are they blessing this? Well, of course not. Are the allies blessing this? No. They're not getting the backing. So can we ultimately do this and feel okay about it? Can we do this and feel like it's the right thing to do? As I said, what do you say? A lot of people throwing in the mailbox, especially after this latest round, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. I'll give you one peek of the mail bag, because we'll get to that a little bit later in this show in a different hour. But Hal said in Florida, boy, this is a lonely road for the president, and I think he's going to find a way to get off the road, Kate. If he has absolutely no backing, he's not going to stand there naked. He's not that kind of guy. So even if he has to get slapped around a little bit in the media and people refer to him as the guy who talks out of both sides of his mouth and red line and whatnot, I think he still will have to back out, and he probably would do that. I don't know how you do that, though, when you're saying this is when you've just gone off on these tangents about how horrific it is and we can't stand by and how can we be. That's pretty tough to swallow that. And when you also set it up for, okay, I really want Congress to be involved in this, and I want Congress to be there and have it be a bipartisan decision. Boom, yeah, let's have those conversations. Let's trot out Boehner and Pelosi. Let's get in Harry Reid and John McCain and Lindsey Graham. So I think he had a false sense of security that he was going to get the votes that he needed. But if he doesn't get those votes, and we don't know for sure, people are just handicapping it through sources and through what they know. I did the same, as did Bob Ney, as have other people who've joined us here in America Tonight. We don't have the ultimate crystal ball. Maybe something turns the tide. Tell you what, he cannot afford to slip on prime time. Stay with us. More to come.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Tees. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
In times of disaster, internet and mobile networks will go dark. A wealth of online information will be completely inaccessible. Now, imagine the most extensive survival and disaster preparedness library ever created, with information for every possible scenario still available to you without online access. That's the survival key. Ben Franklin said it best. By failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. Get your survival key at GetSurvivalKey.com. Quite literally, the key to your survival. GetSurvivalKey.com.
What if you had a witness everywhere you drive? Now you can with video-cam.com. From truckers to motorcyclists, the handy video dash cam can be used for insurance claims, accidents, police encounters, road rage, or natural disasters. Has instant screen playback and optional night vision. Get the best quality, affordable HD dash cameras available at video-cam.com. That's video-cam.com. Or call 855-855-2022. Always have a witness with video dash cam.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She got Betty Davis eyes. And she'll eat you. She'll unheat you. Her best touch just to please you. She's precocious. And she knows just what it takes to make a pro blush. She got credit card on skin on.
All right, remember you can throw in your 2 cents. Never want to leave you out of the conversation, America. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Does Obama completely lose faith, lose face in America, but also internationally if we don't do something in Syria? If we don't hit him with some missiles or do something because of this chemical attack. I think the biggest thing is standing alone on the platform thinking, okay, I got some backup here. This is horrific. America is not going to like this. They're going to see the video. They're going to hear the conversation. They're going to be blown away by the use of chemical weapons. And you know, here in America tonight, most people are going the way of the polls. Most of you listening to my voice right now are saying, no way, Jack, we're not doing it. We're not backing it. I'm part of that. I'm part of the no way are we going there. We've done it. We've been there. And we're staying out of this. We're not going to do it. But there are many of you who have also written and called and said it's just wrong not to do something about chemical weapons. And what about the fear that if you just let that slide, almost like the weapons of mass destruction, boom, they could be aimed right for us? Who says that that can't happen in the United States? There are plenty of people that feel as though that's how this game will play out. Cop says, Kate, looking at the pictures, the chemical attack was not from missiles. It was from small chemical bombs on the ground. Also in the picture is the women or the little girls. you see small boys that look like they just got up from sleep. That's true. In one of the videos I saw, I would say it's hard to tell. You can't see craters in the ground from the missiles, large holes in the ground, that kind of stuff. So there are some missing elements for sure. But the UN, remember, the UN report, the inspectors that went over, the chemical weapons experts, that's what I'll call them because that's what they were, that went over, have not filed their report yet. That's expected at the end of the week. So I'll tell you, it really seemed as though there was a rush to do something here, and we would have seen something happen by this week, but it's not going to happen this week because you already have it blowing up and votes not happening in the Senate and not enough support, obviously, a period in Congress. You won't have the UN report until at least the end of the week. So this is a major milestone for this president. This is an obstacle that he's not going to be able to get over so easily. There's no way to hurdle this. And to persuade the public on Syria, what could this president say on television in a televised deal that airs 9 o'clock Eastern that is going to convince people that are listening? I mean, how many people are going to be listening? I'm going to predict that, and of course we'll have all of that for you. You'll hear it all. I'm going to predict that even if you don't like the president, however you feel about him, you're just kind of neutral, or you like him, don't like him, whatever your opinion is. He's the president of the United States, right? So he gets on and he addresses all of us, because it's to really all of us, to the nation. So when he does that, I think you're going to see a spike in people tuning in, just because whether they're furious or not, they want to hear what he's trying to sell. And, you know, Obama's not a great... He's a flowery speaker in broad terms, but in the specifics, in the content that you would need to hit everyone between the eyes with, this is not in his wheelhouse that he normally would be a strength of the president. So in the area of persuading the public, how is this going to shake out for him? The NBC poll, because, you know, there's all these polls. The NBC poll, only 42% of the public endorse using military force against Syria. And after Afghanistan and Iraq, I mean, that's what it is. The bar has to be set in a much different direction, and we are not there. Something happens in the United States, absolutely. But someplace else, especially in the Middle East, again, uh-uh. And trying to reshape public opinion? Think of presidential speeches. How often have presidential speeches reshaped your opinion, changed your opinion on something that happened? I mean, this is his biggest speech that matters, period. This is one that, if it was incredible and blew your socks off, would go down as one of the greatest speeches in his administration. This is the kind of speech it has to be. This can't be pedestrian and... I said there was a red line, and this is the red line that's been crossed, or internationally people agreed, or whatever. This is one that really, really counts. This is like he's on the debate team, and he either pulls this in or he doesn't. I mean, that's how tough this is. And I was actually looking up some things about presidential speeches and some other things that have happened, putting pressure on, putting pressure on Congress or getting authorization in Congress. And, of course, everybody always points to, as Bob Ney did at the top, because he had that vote. And he said he was lied to, and he voted yes. He voted yes to go to war. Well, President G.W. Bush, of course, requested Congress for the authorization for the use of force in Iraq in 2003, and was justified through that incorrect intelligence about the weapons of mass destruction and the reports of connections between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. You know, if you go back before that, the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, which you have to go back to 1964, gave LBJ, who was the president, the blanket authority he needed to push for more troops to expand in Vietnam, and that whole area. And that was based on information about alleged attacks on U.S. Navy destroyers by the North Vietnamese. So Congress then signed off giving a lot of authority to him to let the military conduct military operations. And it just, you know, just blanket that he could cover off whatever. So now, if you think back to Obama in 2008, criticizing the problems with Bush's war and, you know, nailing him for the weapons of mass destruction over and over and over again in the very beginning when he was running, now he comes back and he has to show that the decision that he's making has backing, I think, has incredible evidence to back it up. And so there's some skepticism far and wide over that. Can he convince, can he make a convincing, compelling case that the intelligence, which his minions have already said, is anybody who sees this intelligence would understand, can he make the point for the intelligence that this is, that you got to trust this? That the Syrian government, not the rebels, not some offshoot people, not randomness, that this was the government that used chemical weapons, and that the Syrians are a big threat to that area. And what are the risks? Well, the biggest risk for the president, the biggest risk, I think, how we all feel, is we can't have another war, the idea of going to war, on false information, on false premises. That can't happen. And it's happened, you know, more than the few times I mentioned there. So this speech, he's got to answer, I think, directly and simply and build the case and build the confidence. And I don't see how I can't wait for it, actually. This is like must-see TV because I'm going to be scoring it on, is there anything compelling? Is there anything that he's showing in the speech that says, oh, yeah, I mean, I don't care, whatever. We got to pull out the stops. We have to do this. We have no choice. We have to go it alone. That's fine. And, you know, are we going to have another failure? So chemical weapons used, and if we don't do anything about it, well, if we use the cruise missiles, is that going to save lives? Is that going to make a difference in these people's lives? And what's the answer to that question? If over 100,000 people were already killed, now we're talking about killed all different ways, artillery shells, heads chopped off, bullets, you know, you name it. And then now if we do this thing with the missiles, this is going to back off Assad. So Assad, going on Charlie Rose's show, says, oh, yes, any kind of retaliation. Who knows what is possible, you know, whatever. So he's basically, he is saying, sure, you come after me, I'm going to come after you. Absolutely. So we launch a few missiles, and then what happens in the United States? Can you imagine? That would be the worst nightmare of all on top of everything, which, of course, we have September 11th, the 12th year anniversary coming up. We want nothing to do with any of that. So this is an important moment, without a doubt. All right, hang with us. We need some levity, don't we? How about some news you can abuse coming up for the final segment of this hour of America Tonight?
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Here on this final segment with me, Kate Delaney, here on ATN, Oklahoma Sweetheart says Fox poll was 16% for it earlier. So see, it's still really low. 16 is more than 9% or 10%, but that's a very, very low number, I think. And let's see what happens. There's a lot of things in watching the speech tomorrow to look at. First, just the points on getting across why the president thinks this has to happen. Selling it, how he's going to sell it, and then what the people polled afterwards, how they feel about it. Do they switch their opinions on it? All right, I promised we would lighten the load a little bit, but first, I like to go back and look at this day in history. And if we go back and we look at this day in history on September 10th, back in 1897, because now we're rolling into the 10th, by the way, if you're saying, what is she talking about, the 10th? This is interesting. One of the first laws against, operating a car while under the influence of alcohol went into effect, and that was in New York in 1910. Dr. Rolla Harger, a professor of biochemistry and toxicology, patented what they called, and of course none of us would have remembered that, a thing called the drunkometer. It was a balloon kind of thing where people would breathe to determine whether they were inebriated or not. Then in 1953, there was a former state police captain and a university professor who collaborated with Harger on his drunkometer and invented the breathalyzer. So that first kicked in 1953, that it was more accurate than what was there before it. It was the first device you could use that was available to the cops to establish whether someone had too much to drink. And we know what it is. You blow into it, and it gauges the proportion of alcohol vapors in your exhaled breath. That's how they measure which reflects the number of alcohol in the blood. But really, if you think about driving and drinking and all that stuff, I mean, when was the real big giant boom of public awareness? I think it was really in the 80s, where you had more of a push for tougher laws and grabbing offenders. And it was in 1981 when Candy Leitner founded Mothers Against Drunk Driving after her 13-year-old daughter, Carrie, was killed by a drunk driver while walking home from a school carnival. And what led to that was the driver had three previous drunk driving convictions and was out on bail from a hit-and-run arrest 2 days earlier. So that's when the whole MAB thing was started, and there was a big push for the sentences and whatnot. And we've looked at all sides of this. We've had attorney Mark Stevens on with us probably four times, and he's talked about the other side of tests that aren't right and what happens to people and wrong convictions and whatnot. But there's also been some incredible convictions for people who should have been nailed, and they did get nailed. And I was looking at some statistics, and if you go back just 10 years ago, 17,000 people died in alcohol-related crashes, according to the statistics that were available from the National Highway Patrol. And almost 1.4 million people were arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs. So there you have it. Breathalyzer goes all the way back, really, to the 50s, to 1953. And then before that, the drunk-o-meter and how that changed the course of really a lot of things. Police work, how people were charged in with drunk driving, and is it a dissuader, you know, when they set up camp and you know that this is a possibility. And I had to take a breathalyzer once. I think I told the story, and I had nothing to drink. I think I had a glass of wine like 5 hours before or something, but I was in California in a cool town called San Luis Obispo, and what I did was I stopped at the stop sign, but I guess I didn't stop enough. And I was pulled over. I was with a friend, and they, you know, said, "Oh, have you been driving? Have you been drinking?" And of course, I hadn't been since hours ago, and hardly anything. And I did take it. I was thinking, "Oh, please," because I kept in my head thinking the false test that people have. And I mean, clearly I wasn't, and it was fine. But it was a very strange sensation to take the test and go through that, and it gave me a better idea of what that's like for people, one that are pulled over that aren't there at all, and then others that are pulled over that are in that situation, and it is very strange. All right, want to get to some crazy, crazy news, or maybe it's not that crazy, crazy news, but it is news you can abuse, and I love this story. I don't know why. But I guess because I saw a picture of it and I thought it was so cool looking, it must cost a fortune. There is the world's largest solar powered boat is anchored off of San Cristobal Island, and it's in the Galapagos Islands in Ecuador. Somebody took a picture of it a few years ago and it's back there again. It's called the Turnhour Planet Solar, and it is all solar energy, the whole thing. And it completed its first solar-powered trip around the world in May of last year. It traveled over 37,000 miles. And it's kind of strange when you look at it. I mean, it's solar panels that are all over the top of the boat. I mean, in a sense, it's a pretty boat. But what happens if you had nothing but dark skies? I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I guess it wouldn't be good to be docked in Seattle for too long, because how would you get that sunshine that would power you back in the direction of wherever it was that you were going? But it is a neat looking boat, I have to say. It has to cost a fortune, because the solar panels can't be cheap, and the craftsmanship on this boat is pretty wild. I don't know why, but the fascination for me over these paintings that people discover, they go to, you know, they go to somebody's yard sale and then they find that there's a Picasso underneath what was a fake-looking painting. There's a landscape painting that was put in a Norwegian attic. It was decided it was fake or wrongly attributed. Now it's been identified as an absolutely genuine work by Vincent van Gogh. It's the first full-size canvas by van Gogh being discovered since 1928. And it's a pretty painting. You know, these big sort of holly oaks and sun setting and whatnot, and it's definitely looks like a Van Gogh. The exact date it was painted, they say, can be identified because Vincent describes it in a letter to his brother, and that people have seen the letter, and he painted it in July 4th, 1888. So, pretty cool to find that in an attic. And think that it was nothing, that it was a nothing burger painting, and then here it was this fine work of art. So the work was originally sold in 1901. And Van Gogh, people don't realize this, or maybe they do if they know anything of the history of it, Van Gogh only sold one painting when he was alive. He had terrible, terrible problems with mental illness throughout his life, and then he died of a self-inflicted gun wound in 1890, just as he was starting to get some acclaim for his paintings. But I think this is very cool that this is a painting that was just found in an attic. Oh, yeah, we have that rare Van Gogh that's hanging around out there, just shoved in the corner. We thought it was something else, and lo and behold, we took it into somebody who knows such things, and it turns out to be a lost work of Van Gogh. Wow, pretty cool. Any thoughts on the show? Share them. AmericaTonight.net. Thanks for listening to this hour of ATN.
So much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets, but fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.